stuff.
Blog Talk Radio.
Just a little old-fashioned karma coming down. A little old-fashioned justice going round. A little bit of laughing and a little bit of weeping. A little bit of sorrow and a little bit of weeping. Just a little old-fashioned karma coming down.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Tea Pot Party and I endorse
Gatewood's Legacy Group on Facebook and at gatewoodslegacy.com.
Gatewood would be proud, too.
It really ain't hard to understand. It's just a little old-fashioned karma coming down.
Welcome to the Gatewood Legacy Radio. I am your host, Codas, and we have our lovely and beautiful co-host, Miss Jolene. How are you, Miss Jolene?
Hi, Codas. I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm thankful, Jolene. Always thankful. Thankful and blessed, you know. No matter how bad things are, I'm thankful and blessed. I preach that to one of my youngest son all the time, you know, because he'd be like, oh my God, it's just been a horrible day, you know, or something, and I'm like, yeah, but you're still blessed.
It could always be worse.
Yeah, we just never know. It could always be worse. Absolutely. We're gonna get ready and do our birthdays and get our show started.
All right, happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. All right. Wilma Cornett, my aunt down there in Hazard, Kentucky. Happy birthday, Miss Wilma Cornett. Monica Reynolds, happy birthday to you, Monica. Jaime Montalvo with Kentuckians for Medical Marijuana, happy birthday to you, Jaime. Bill Kimball Sr., happy birthday to you. Victor Robert, happy birthday. Rex Russo, happy birthday. Paul Hubbard, my first cousin, actually he's recovering from colon cancer, you know, and things. Mm-hmm. So happy birthday to my cousin, Paul. Scarlett Odom Richardson. Man, I love her like she's my sister. Love her to death. And today's her birthday. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to Miss Scarlett. But let's burn some sage, send some good vibes or prayers for Miss Scarlett, because her dog, Samson, has been diagnosed with bone cancer. And he's in such bad shape that she actually has to put him to sleep tomorrow. They wanted to do it today, but she just couldn't do it on her birthday. So happy birthday, Miss Scarlett. Love you people, and that's my Facebook family and friends' birthday. Miss Jolene, do you happen to have any?
Yes, I do. I have one today. His name is Donnie Shively. Happy birthday, Donnie.
Famous birthdays. We have Jackie Chan, 62 years old today. Russell Crowe, 52 years old today. James Garner was born on this day in 1928 and passed away in 2014. Then you've got John Oates from Hall & Oates, 67 years old today. That is our famous birthdays. We got Pioneer Paula. Pioneer Paula, do you happen to have any birthdays?
I don't know, because I ain't been on Facebook, really. I don't know.
All right, we got the day in history on this day in 1920. Indian sitar legend Rabbi Shankar is his last name. He was born, so he's the legend Indian of the 1920s was born on this day. The question of the day. Is who is known to have smoked on the roof of the White House? Pioneer Paula?
Willie Nelson.
Jeff Campbell. Jeff Campbell from down there in Georgia. He says, shit, I know this. He said it was Bill. I didn't inhale Clinton. He said, but I want to say it's really Willie. So that is the correct answer, Willie Nelson.
Yeah, I'm ready for 422, man.
Absolutely, Paula.
Wonder how he got by with that. Does anybody know? How did he get by with that?
Well,
Jimmy Carter was president at the time. Hell, Jimmy might have been up there with him. Who knows?
I know. Maybe.
Yeah. That is funny. That's awesome. How he did get it. Somebody snuck him up there. Somebody in that White House was smoking.
Yeah.
To have got Willie on top of there.
They're not just going to let somebody go through the White House like that, you know, without anybody knowing where they're at and what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? The security.
But that was
stuff.
Before 9/11, too. So it was not as much security as
security.
It is now, you know, but because that was back in the 80s, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, back in the 80s, Paula.
Cool as shit, either way is cool.
Well, yeah. And I bet Jimmy Carter smoked right along with him.
I'm like you, Paula. He looks like a smoker, don't he?
He looks like a smoker to me also. I think I believe he is. You know, we have all these closet smokers. You know, I was
that's
talking to
that's the reason why he had all those peanuts.
Yeah, that was his munchy peanuts. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he could even crunch them down and make peanut butter, you know. But, you know, you'd be surprised. There is doctors, there is lawyers, there is police officers, state police, FBI, judges that smoke cannabis, state legislators right here in Kentucky that smoke cannabis. Don't ever think that you don't. There's a lot more than people realize. We've got a lady, I forgot her name. Absolutely, I hate that. But we've got a lady here in Kentucky that she has a child that's actually fighting seizures and been, I'll tell you what her name is, Brittany. I won't say Brittany's last name, but Brittany is in Ohio County. That's down there towards the Owensboro, Kentucky area. And we've got an audio. It's about 13 minutes and 34 seconds long. And her son's name is Kaylee's. And this is Kaylee's Fight for Life. And big shout out to Kentuckians for Medical Marijuana, who Brittany stands with. And Brittany's telling the story about her son and how she's going to have to pack up and move to Colorado just to give her son the CBD oil. CBD oil, people, that's supposed to be legal in our state. Now, there's a problem here.
By an emergency bill. Remember, it was an emergency bill.
It ain't doing no good, Paula. We've got little children still dying.
I know it ain't doing no good because it was a bad written bill.
Failed bill. 13 minutes and 34 seconds. Miss Jolene's going to play that, and we'll be right back.
I don't know what it's under. What's it under?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jolene. Kaylee's Fight for Life. It's a K-H-A-L-I-L-S. Kaylee's Fight for Life is how she's got it down. I see it. It's actually on there twice. I don't know how it got on there twice. Actually on there twice. It's right under the Kentucky Harvest Bands.
Yeah, I see it.
And we'll be right back.
All right, here we go.
Hey everyone, I'm making this video because everyone's always asking me a little story. So I thought I would share Khalil developed normally. He was a happy baby. Came home just like every other kid. He was born with hypospadia, so he was due for surgery at 6.5 months. So he received 2 testosterone shots to have that procedure done. May 4th, 2015, we were on our way to spend the night in Louisville because the surgery was the next day. On the way, I was in the back, and I noticed a head drop that I had noticed before, but I never thought nothing of it. So I'm like, oh my God, Reggie, pull over. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. So I called 911. And they wanted to take him to, they came and they met us, and they wanted to take him to go there. But we thought that maybe he was tired, and we were going to the hospital the next day anyway, so we'll just wait. So we go to the hospital. He has a surgery. He's observed overnight. My friend Jasmine comes, and I'm like, hey, he's doing this again. And everybody sees him, and everybody thought, no. You know, it's a reaction to the medications, the anesthesia. So I was like, nah, I really think something's wrong. And the nurses came in, and they agreed that they thought it was the anesthesia. We go home, and May 6th, I call my Aunt Jenny. I call her for everything. And I'm like, Aunt Jenny, Khalil's doing this again. I don't know what's going on. So she said, honey, get him here, and we'll get him right to the hospital. So we go. Thankfully, Dr. Johnson was there. Dr. Johnson comes in while I'm filling out papers and looks at him and whisked him up over the desk and didn't think twice and took him and ran all the tests he knew and told me that he thought Khalil needed to go to Cozair and he thought he was having seizures. So we go, and the whole time I'm thinking a seizure, we can get past that. Aiden had one before, and plenty of people have them. Give him the medication, we'll go home. So we go to Cozair, and they hooked him up to a 24-hour ED where he was admitted. And I remember it was like 11, and the nurse comes in and says, Dr. Farber has been watching your son's EEG, and he's on his way here. He needs to talk to you. So I thought, what is he coming here in the middle of the night for? It's not normal. So he comes, and it's like 12 or 1 our time, and he's like, can you please sit down? I need to talk to you about what I'm seeing. I knew that wasn't good, so I sat down, and he told me that Khalil was having infantile spasms, the most catastrophic form of epilepsy, and he was at the age where it usually appears. He asked me if I had any questions, and I didn't. I was shocked at that time. So the next morning, I woke up to him and a slew of people to observe Khalil. I was told that he was the first case that he had ever had with infantile spasms, and he was letting everyone else observe him, showing my kid off like a guinea pig. And so I had questions then. Is he going to walk? Is he going to talk? You know, no, he's not going to walk. He's never going to talk. He's going to die. This is going to take his life. There's always an underlying condition, and he's going to die. But we're going to start him on Vicabitrin to try to prolong his life and to stop the spasms, but most of these kids don't live past 30. So we started it, and the side effects was vision loss. And within a week, I was like, yay, he's better, it's working. And then they came back. So we go back in another few days, and they put him on prednisone. And it's a really high steroid, like high dose of steroid. I remember going to get it filled at Rice Drugs, and the pharmacist wouldn't fill it. He said he wouldn't fill it because it's too high of a dose for a man that's 200 pounds. And he had to talk to them because he thought it was a misprint on the prescription. It was like 7 o'clock at night. I was so angry. I was just tired. I wanted to go home. But it was right. It was the right prescription. And that's a scary thing to hear, that your son's on a dose that could harm a 200-pound man. Well, within a week, we thought it was working again. Yay, Khalil, it's working. You're one of the odds. You're one of the cryptogenic kids that doesn't have an underlying condition. They have seizures, and you're going to make it. A week later, he goes into status. It was the scariest thing of my life. He was put on a ventilator. It was a big fog. I don't remember much. I remember we seen every doctor there. Nobody gave us hopes of anything. Nobody. About every time they would try to bring him out of the ventilator, he would start seizing again. So they would put him back under. There was no plan for him at all. So I was tired. So I researched and I researched, and Cincinnati came up. And it was the top for neurology, and I had talked to Stephanie, a girl, a friend I met, a really good friend of mine now that I met on the infantile spasm discussion board, and she's seen Dr. Holland in. And so I was like, if I can get her there, you know, Charlotte had really good outcome, let's just get her there. But Dr. Holland in only usually would see babies. Well, nobody could figure Khalil out. Months being there, nobody could figure him out. Dr. Holland in was the last one that they called, and she agreed to take him. She worked and worked and worked her little hand in off for us and saved his life. But he kept going into status, and I refused the vent. The longest status was 22 days. And in those 22 days, I just wanted to leave. I wanted to get out of there. So I requested a referral to the top genetics because we had no answers still. Almost 6 months and no answers, and my son was still having seizures. Every medication failed. So I remember it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Dr. Holland in and the genetics counselor came in, and they told me that they had a diagnosis for Khalil, and that it was mitochondrial, and that it was terminal. He was the only one living with it, is what we were told, and he was not going to live long. They wanted to send him home on comfort measures with hospice, and that he was the sixth in the world ever diagnosed, and that others had passed. So I mourned the loss of my child for a few days, and then I get researching, and some way I got linked to Dawn and Charlie. Charlie was 7, and he has FARS too, also, and he's 7, and he's going on 8. Well, everybody knows that we've had a battle. Excuse me. And so we've reached our medical limits, and we have no more options. We have one more medicine coming out. It's the Super Keppra, but it's not out yet. And I gave Khalil 2 doses of rescue meds for a tonic-clonic seizure 2 days ago. And his doctor called to check on him, and I told her about it, and she said that that's not protocol no more. We give him 1 rescue med every 8 hours, and we just wait it out. So, yes, I gave him Haley's Hope, and someone reported me to social services for giving him Haley's Hope. So, my thing is this. If you are not on my page for my child's benefits, get off. Because we fight every day to live, and you don't know how hard it is to mourn your child that's still here. Why do we have to move? Why does the zip code define what medicines my son gets? And why do people constantly feel the urge that I'm harming him when I'm not?
Pitiful. You know, this is a mother. I'm sorry. I thought I was over there. I thought I was live in the thing. I said, why does she have to move? This is absolutely insane. I mean, this mother should not have to move to try to save her child. I mean, it's just horrible, people. Horrible. You know, that any mother is fighting for her child. And, you know, shame on you, whoever called CPS on her. You know, shame on you. You know, evil,
really?
Evil people. Evil people, man. I don't know what's wrong with people.
They need to learn to mind their own business, trying to save
their
child.
Their damn noses are too long.
Yeah. You know what? One of these days they might have to go through the same shit, you know it? What comes around goes around.
Absolutely. Everybody needs to just mind your own damn business and leave
sick
and dying people alone. People are
sick and dying.
They do not need to be tormented.
Right.
It's just
If they don't want to use oil, fine, but don't stop anybody else from saving it, you know, saving their child's life.
Absolutely. It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, but it's 4:20 here by Don Miller out of Doylestown, Tennessee, and Pat Riley, and we'll be back in 2 minutes and 26 seconds. Take us away, Miss Jolene.
Puff, puff, pass.
They're getting off of work. I'm getting on my boat. Right now it's happy hour. I'm lighting up a smoke. The world keeps turning, and I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, at 4:20 here. I learned a long time ago, for me, alcohol is not the buzz of my choice. I'll have a smoke while you have a beer. Toast and cheer. It's 5 o'clock somewhere at 4:20 here. Now Willie told me, here's all I know. You can die from stress or learn to let it all go. Lost a state of mind, and that was fear. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, at 4:20 here. I got a big old grin all over my face. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm living for today. Life is good. Let's toast and cheer.
Yeehaw, yeehaw, what a great, great song. I hope I'm live because I see my thing going around and around. I was like, man, I'm just going around and around. I am live, though.
Every legislator in Frankfurt needs to listen to that testimony.
Well, she has actually tagged her state rep in it. She's tagged him, and he's a really religious man, and she tagged him in that. And, you know, and he's a good guy. Her legislator, I mean, to me, he's always stood behind the cannabis bills as far as I know. I mean, it's just hard to get one of them to stand up and sponsor it and really tell somebody, hey, you know, this is not about giving drugs. I mean, because if you want drugs, to me, go to your local doctor. You know, I just cannot express that enough because myself, I'm like Gatewood Galbraith. I'm about the natural cycle of life and not the synthetic poisons that they pump into you that kills your organs and other body parts and things. You know, I'm not for that.
The thing about this coal dust, I mean, she was relying on the doctors. And just, you know, the diagnosis was still the child's going to die. So what is a little cannabis oil going to hurt?
And the thing about it is the oil that she was using was the CBD oil, which is supposed to be legal in our state.
Exactly.
You know.
I know. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just puts cold chills all over me and devastates me to see this child in the shape that he's in. And I've got a lot of friends. I've got a lot of people that are sick and dying right now. And I mean, there's nothing more devastating than watching your family and your members that you love suffering. Mm-hmm. And if this could make it a little better for them, you know, I think we're going to be in trouble, people. I really think we'll be in trouble for what we take a damn blind eye to, you know.
Yeah.
If you see a child getting molested and you're taking a blind eye to it, I think you're going to be in trouble for that one day, you know. Because
should
I
be.
Believe that there is, you know, I believe there will come a punishment from it, as they say, karma. I call it sowing seed. You sow a bad seed, you reap a bad seed.
Sure.
You know, you're going to reap that seed, you know. But, man, the hate and discontent. I got a bunch of shout-outs, Miss Jolene, thank you so much, as always, being here with us. John Kalawinski up there in Erie, Pennsylvania. Man, we love you, John. Thank you so much. Michelle Hill. Thank you, Michelle. And she runs Weeds for You, the like page on Facebook. Check it out. Brent and Sherry Goss down there in Louisville, Kentucky. Beth Lynn, Pioneer, Paula Willett. Thank you so much, Paula. We've got Henry Fox down there in Louisville. Michael Patterson's up there in Northern Kentucky. Thank you, Michael. Dennis Allen, he's also up towards, I think he's either in Northern Kentucky, maybe towards Bowling Green. I can't remember where Dennis is at. Schubert's in the chat box. Thank you so much, Schubert, for listening in. Misty Smith down there in Hazard, Kentucky. Thank you, Miss Misty. Purple Haze, thank you guys. They're listening live. We're live at Purple Haze there today. I mean, I'm not live there with them, but we are going to be live there on Wednesday. And if it works out good, then we'll be live on 420 there, also celebrating the 420 bash with Purple Haze at 1236 Versailles Road and 635 East New Circle Road. And we've got Justin Mullins. Does anybody know who Justin Mullins is?
No.
Nobody
not me.
Knows.
No.
Pioneer Paula, do you know who Justin Mullins is?
I don't think so.
Justin Mullins used to be a host on the, I don't know if we still have Z-Rock, if we still got Z-Rock radio out of Lexington. I haven't heard it in a while. But, he was actually on Z-Rock Radio in Lexington, Kentucky there, and he's a good friend of mine, Justin is. He's actually down in Tennessee now. He left Kentucky. And I've got a short audio. I'm not even going to mute us, ladies, because it's only 1 minute and 14 seconds from Justin Mullins. This is just for you, Justin, and it's a interview he done with Gatewood Galbraith. Here we go. We'll be right back.
And now for your Z-Rock Morning News Report. Here's Justin Mullins.
As the 2007 race for the governor's mansion begins to heat up, one of the Democratic primary candidates is pushing for some radical ideas to help reshape the landscape of Kentucky politics. Gatewood Galbraith, who has ran for office several times as both an independent and Democrat, is once again going around the state promoting his candidacy. One of Galbraith's most notable platforms is his stance on what has long been Kentucky's number one cash crop, despite the fact that it's illegal. Galbraith detailed his plan to legalize the production of hemp to use especially as an alternative fuel source.
The Kentucky State Legislature has already agreed with me by passing a law that says that we can grow hemp and look at hemp and investigate hemp as a fuel crop. And the state, the University of Kentucky stands ready to do that, but the DEA won't allow them the permit to grow it. So the state, I've already got the state legislature agree with me. How many billion-dollar ideas do I have to be right about before I get to be governor?
Reporting for Z-Rock 107.5, I'm Justin Mullins. Good morning.
There's Justin Mullins. That's who that was. Talking to Gatewood. Thank you, Justin. Thank you so much for giving us that audio to play and to have of Gatewood and you. We appreciate you. Got KCFC that's going to be at Purple Haze this weekend, which is Saturday from 12 to 5 at 1236 Versailles Road in Lexington, Kentucky. We've also got a, it's called like the Battle of the Bands. The Battle of the Bands is coming up, and this is going to happen in Richmond down there at the Eastern Kentucky Auditorium. The Battle of the Bands is Tuesday, April the 12th, from 6 to 9. It's free admissions, Breaking the Divide. Breaking the Divide used to actually be a band called, Nothing Venture. Nothing Venture is what they used to be. I love these guys. I'm telling you, I love these guys. So, I'm really hoping that they win the Battle of the Bands. But, hey, I want to talk about, you know, the 50-year Woodstock is coming up in New York City. New York City, the 50-year Woodstock, 3 days of peace and music. Greg Allman is on there. But what really got me was, hey, you've got Willie Nelson and family that's going to be there also. Could you imagine?
Oh, man.
Willie Nelson. Yeah, is that not cool? Yeah, you've got Greg Allman and Willie Nelson both.
Man, that would be just awesome. But, man, this old Woodstock group is too old.
That would be a memory of memories. You've got the Steve Miller Band that's going to be there, John Fogerty. You've got Government Mule, Oysterheads, Lotus, Keller Williams, Old Crow Medicine Show, STS-9's going to be there, the Averett Brothers, Dark Star Orchestra is going to be there. They've got a hell of a lineup. I mean, man, I'll just be honest with you, though.
I love John Fogerty.
Oh, me too, Jolene. It just goes on and on and on with some of them. You got Yonder Mountain String Band. That's another favorite of mine. I love those people. Love those folks. They're going to be there also. And it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 3 days of music coming up at the Woodstock anniversary. It's August the 16th, 17th, and 18th. It's at White Lake, New York. White Lake, New York, man. What a great thing to do. Let's burn some sage, prayers, good thoughts towards Willie Nelson. Because, you know, Willie is really mourning the loss of what he calls his brother, Merle Haggard. So, you know, we're for sure in our thoughts and prayers and things, Willie. Go ahead, Paula.
I said they were best buds, you know.
Right. Who wants to know how to make cannabis oil to treat cancer? If you want to know how to make cannabis oil to treat cancer, I actually have it all posted up on the Gatewood Legacy Radio like page. The CBD oil is increasingly being used to treat a variety of medical conditions. In the form of cannabis oil derived from marijuana or industrial hemp that contains significant amounts of cannabinoids. You know, it's a molecule found in cannabis. Cannabinoids have a natural way of interacting with our bodies through receptors from the endocannabinoid system. Boy, I love the endocannabinoid system. How the hell could we not? And everybody has an endocannabinoid system in all human bodies and animals. Did you know your animal has animals have an endocannabinoid system?
Yep. Sure
and
do.
And when which are all pres I mean which inter- when introduced I'm sorry when introduced into the body, the cannabinoids regulate cell growth, which in turn combats cancer, among other things. Made simple from a sizable amount of pot, a bucket, and a solvent, cannabis oil has proven effective for treating a variety of serious elements, including cancer. I think there's 34 cancer things out there that they've got now, 34 different cancers that, you know, this oil can help with. Alzheimer's disease, epilepsy, Lyme disease, chronic pain, people, asthma, diabetes, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And this cannabis oil is Rick Simpson. It's the Rick Simpson oil. And how is the Rick Simpson oil made? I mean, man, YouTube it. If you don't want to read and learn it, YouTube it. Rick Simpson has all kinds of videos and information out there. He's actually in the country of Canada. And, you know, and it's easy to make, you know.
Is it
you
legal
know, of course he's
there? Is it legal there where he's at?
Yes, I think it is legal in Canada because that's where Mark Emery's at also. Ain't it legal? Yeah, it's legal in Canada, ain't it, Paula?
I think so, yeah.
I think
see. Rick Simpson was from Nova Scotia, and he got run out of there because he was trying, when he found out what it did, you know, and he was telling everybody, like, wow, man, look at this, and nobody wanted to talk to him.
Yeah, wow.
The American Cancer Society did not want to know about the cure because they don't want the cure because they lose a job.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
A lot of money. But, you know, the last time I was in Colorado, every bit of the CBD oil was gone. All
really,
of it was sold. Yes, and I'm talking a little bitty bottle for $130. All of it was gone.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Supply and demand.
So yes, what I was getting ready to say, very big demand, Paula. Everybody's on it.
Well,
that's
amazing, Jolene. Yeah, I mean, that's really amazing that, I mean, especially to hear that a state that is producing so much that they can't even keep up with the supply and demand of it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. And the lady that I talked to there, I talked every time I go in, I get in a conversation with some of them. But this last time the lady was in there, she was telling me that her mother had cancer. You know, and she was going on talking about the oil and stuff. And I said, well, how is your mother? She said she's in remission. I said, that's wonderful.
Ah, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then another guy there was treating his dog. He had some kind of arthritis wrong with his bones and his joints and all that stuff. And they have a gel pen there that's a CBD oil. And he put it on the inside of his dog's ear, where the skin is real thin. And it absorbs right into their bloodstream. And, you know, he said that's all he had to do. And his dog was like a little puppy, ran around like a little pup.
Wow.
Yeah. It's better.
What did you say, Paula? What did you say, Paula?
When I put some of that hemp salve on Shadow and all, and rub it in where her sores and her back and her injuries are, it makes her run and jump like a puppy. And then you give her shotguns, she really acts like a puppy.
Paula's giving her dog shotguns.
Yeah, she grown up me doing that.
Well, you don't want don't let her get past that then, Paula. I mean, she'll need her shotguns.
Yeah, exactly. And her doctor, her vet, knows that she consumes cannabis too. So.
Right.
Okay, not all doctors are like that. Not all doctors are like that, Paula.
Right.
No, Daisy doesn't like it. Now, Shahiro and Hercules, the German Shepherd, yeah, they're kind of liking it.
No, I'm not. I didn't say dogs. I said doctors. Not all doctors are like yours.
Oh, I know. Well, this is my vet, so I've been educating my vet for 100 years, too, seems like.
Absolutely. Big shout-out to Scott W. Jetter. Thank you, Scott. Thank you so much for listening in and sharing the show and things. I don't know. You know, it's like, I keep reading and seeing a lot about also, you know, to where they're going to reschedule it. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. I mean, it's like, man, I mean, what are they waiting for? To me, that's the number one thing that we need to do is reschedule it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow. I mean, this is from the Huffington Post. It said the DEA plans to decide whether to reschedule marijuana by mid-year. They have gave no clue whether it will remove pot from its Scheduled 1 category of dangerous drugs. To me, if it's such a dangerous drug, where is all the deaths at? You know, where is your statistics and facts to prove that this is such a dangerous drug.
Coal dust, the only thing that I can figure out is that they're incorporating that synthetic marijuana shit that, you know, does kill people and put you in the hospital and comas on life support. I think they're including that in with the natural stuff. And that's
because they've always said it killed people from the beginning. So the synthetic's just,
So maybe just a scare tactic? A scare tactic to keep people away from it? Not, because if people don't use it, then they don't really know what it can do. You know, if you're scared.
It all started out with Reefer Madness was all a scare tactic. It was all a scam.
Well, you know, here's something to think about, and I'm sure everybody's going to agree with this. There has to be, you know, somebody has to either know somebody that uses cannabis or have somebody in their family that uses cannabis. Is that person really that bad of a person because they're using cannabis, you know?
Well, if cannabis is the only thing that they use, there wouldn't be any complaint about it. But when they throw in this flocka and heroin and coke and all this other shit, you know, there's no comparison. But they think, you know, if you've got a little, you know, THC in your system, that's what caused it.
But yet nobody seems
to
be upset about it.
They know it makes a nicer person down here.
But, you know, I mean, well, and it's just like, and I hear this, like I say, my son's got a shirt that says, just boof it. You know, but yet it's all right to boof shit up your ass.
That's,
you know, let's boof
nasty.
Cough syrup of her. You know, if you can boof it, it's for free. You know, I mean, like, come on now. I mean, boof it. I mean, you know that once somebody boofs it, you damn sure don't want to share it after it's been up somebody's ass, would you? You know what?
Who the fuck knows? Who knows? I'm telling what they do.
Oh,
wow.
Lord.
This shit I've never ever heard of. It just goes beyond my wildest imagination. It's crazy.
Well, it's like my dear sweet friend, who I love like a father with all my heart, Blackie White, you know. He was talking a while ago about people dying and things. And he says, you know, talking about Merle Haggard had passed. He passed away and passed away. And I was like, what are you talking about? I mean, I know you're an ex-school teacher here, but, I mean, we're in a time where, hell, these young people don't spell. They abbreviate shit. I mean, I catch myself all the time having to Google what the hell they're talking about. Because I don't know what that abbreviation of this slang new language is. You know?
No, and I don't plan on learning it.
I'm not real concerned with it either, Paula. I'm the same way. There's some things I know, the simple things.
And they don't know that there's three different spellings for the word two with three different meanings.
I know, people don't get that.
And there and there. I mean, oh, man, it just grabs my ass for all the...
Paula, I'm glad I'm not the only one. And another word, there. They don't know the difference between there, there, and there.
Or I work. There's all this. I think I shared a list of it because that's one of my pet peeves, and I put it to my children because they don't do the right form either. I tagged them. Mom, quit tagging us.
Kills me. I mean, and I learned that in school. I mean, there's no reason for that.
Well, they don't teach all that in school no more. They don't even digest or what do you call it, diagram, whatever, the sentence. Remember the verb and the adjective?
Yeah.
They don't do that no more either.
Wow.
So big shout out to Greg Allman. You know, yesterday morning, Greg Allman's tour bus with 10 of his band members, or crew people, 10 of his crew people, they were in a tour bus crash off of Interstate 77.
Oh.
They went over an embankment because the driver of the bus got choked. And three of the crew members were checked out at the hospital and all released. And Greg Allman says that he and his musicians took the stage, you know. So, I mean, glad that they're all right, you know.
He
so
got
Greg
choked?
Allman,
the driver got choked?
The driver. Yeah, it's my understanding the driver got choked on something, Jolene, yeah, and ran him over an embankment and, crashed the bus. You know.
Eating while driving, maybe?
Oh, I have no idea.
Maybe.
Maybe so. You know.
Maybe. They should have had somebody watching shotgun, just saying, you know.
Well, yeah, you'd think some, but, well, you know, sometimes shit like that happens so fast, even if there was someone there, it could have just, you know, happened in the blink of an eye. Wow.
Right.
At least everybody's okay. At least everybody's okay. And the show went on.
And the show went on. I don't know if
and
that's
next
true or not.
That from Merle Haggard, that when you read that to me today about Toby Keith doing that from Merle Haggard, that was sweet.
Yes,
what was it? I
haven't
heard.
The very last show that Merle Haggard did, he was pretty bad sick, and Toby Keith and his wife was actually down not too far from Merle Haggard, and when he found out, Toby Keith came to Merle Haggard. And Merle asked Toby Keith, he said, "Do you know any of my songs?" And Toby Keith's very response, I mean, it just humbles me. His very response to Merle Haggard was, "I know all your songs."
Oh, wow.
Without a teleprompter,
exactly, is exactly what Toby Keith said. And so Merle Haggard asked him if he would help finish the show out because he was so out of breath he couldn't finish his show out. And
weak.
And Toby Keith, he kicked in there and finished the show for Merle Haggard, and it was the last show that he had.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did anybody hear about Jimmy Van Dant passed away in hospice on April the 2nd? Did I miss that somehow? Is that true or not? Jimmy Van Zant. Ronnie Van Zant's brother.
I don't know.
They said he passed away in hospice. This was on April the 2nd, which is a couple of days ago. Had passed from liver cancer. It has been confirmed by his Facebook page, it says. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, it's the first time I had heard it. I had missed that somehow. I mean, I'm not for sure if that's a true statement or not because I haven't actually, I can't research it and ain't got the time to research it. But, now they're saying off of his Facebook page that he's passed. I mean, so, I don't know. It's like, man. All these great, talented musicians, man. You imagine what a band they got going on? You know, they've got a band going on. And you know, Merle Haggard's son, I know we keep talking about Merle Haggard, but Merle Haggard's son had said that exactly a week ago, he was talking with his dad, and his dad told him, said, "I'm going to die on my birthday."
I read that.
And yep, and sure enough, he passed away on his birthday, 79 years old. And you know, it's kind of, go ahead, Jolene.
Tell me how he knew that, unless somebody from above was speaking to him. Tell me that.
Absolutely, Jolene. It's kind of funny because, you know, When I was doing the birthdays up, because I do them up sometimes months ahead of time and all that, and things to try to get myself set ahead on things. Mm-hmm. And when I came to Merle Haggard, and I said, "Oh, wow, Merle Haggard's got a birthday coming up, 79 years old." The thought came to me into my mind, said, "Well, he won't make it." And I was like, "What do you mean he won't make it?" But he did. He made it exactly on his birthday, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just strange, very strange, very, very strange. You know, I was a big Merle Haggard fan myself. I mean, you know, I guess mostly because of my mother, you know.
Oh, I loved his music.
Yeah, I did too. There was a Jimmy and Johnny. My day was. Let me know, Misty, if you find out about that, honey. Let me know if you find out for sure if he passed away or not. Because I mean, I mean, I'm seeing that on there, that he's passed away, and it's like, you know, it's like, man, I just hate that. I mean, all these talented musicians, like I say, I mean, I hate to hear that they're not here. And I can't really look to confirm it. There is a Blackie White Medicine Show coming up next, which it's only going to be in and out because Blackie White is actually having to go to drunk college. I forgot how many more drunk college classes he's got, and I can't actually help him today with running his show. So he is going to be on there just for a few minutes to say hello and goodbye. You know, so tune in to the Blackie White Medicine Show to hear a hello and a goodbye.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Couldn't he play like a previous episode or something just to keep, you know, just to fill his spot?
Yeah, he probably could, Jolene, but he's out and about and he doesn't know how to get bored up on his phone.
What's up, you ran bored?
I was, but I'm out the door just as soon as my show's over with here. I'm out the door. I'm going to be on the road. Yeah, and I can't run it for him today. I usually help him, but I just can't do it today. This came out of Russia. A 38-year-old Muslim nanny. She had beheaded a 4-year-old child and was carrying it through Russia, I guess, screaming. It's like, man, what is wrong with these people chopping people's heads off?
A little 4-year-old child that she was babysitting. That bitch should have been shot right between the eyes just as soon as they seen her carrying that child's head down the street, holding it up.
I mean, there is no religion. Right. There is no religion that I am going to stand with that's chopping people's heads off, you know. I mean, man, just cruel, wrong, cruel and wrong. And then, you know, I forgot where this other story was at, but I forgot even how the baby was, but it was a little baby. The mother, they had found the baby dead in the bathtub, floating, dead, drowned in the bathtub. The mother had gotten the bathtub with the baby and fell asleep, and I guess the baby drowned. And I think that was here in Kentucky where that actually happened.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like, okay, how do you do that? I mean, what is wrong with people? No accountability.
Well, pills.
You know, no accountability. I mean, it's like, man, what is wrong? I mean... You know, and
so,
it's just absolutely.
Do you know any of the details about the woman? What did they do?
I said this was in Kentucky, but it actually was in Clay County, Florida. I guess Florida has a Clay County, which I know they do because I've actually seen it. So I am wrong. I need to retract that. This happened. The baby was 7 months old. Found floating in the bathtub. Deputies say the mother fell asleep with the child in the tub. And they're really not giving much on it. They say the mother was bathing the child. He started to cry, so she got in with him, played for about 15 minutes, then fell asleep. Deputies say when she woke up, she found the baby floating in the tub.
Well,
now that is
okay. There's two ways I see this. Number one, she got in there and she just wanted to get rid of the baby. I mean, she may have been very aware of what she was doing. Or number two, she was on some kind of pills, because I know for a fact that there are pills out there that you take or whatever they do, and you will pass out. Because there was someone that was talking about finding someone almost passing out in the bathtub, and they was on pain pills. So, I mean, I know that does happen.
I just can't imagine. I mean, you know, you take a 7-month-old baby. I mean, that's a pretty big size baby, you know.
Yeah. And it's going to be splashing and everything else. How in the hell would that not wake you up if you just dozed off to sleep? That ain't right. Something ain't right with that.
Oh, I hate how this media reports stuff. I just hate it, people, because, I mean, you know, you've got always all these questions, but you never have the answer of things, you know. And And I can't stand how the truth is unacceptable. The truth is unacceptable, but a lie, man, it goes like a wildfire.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an epidemic, you know. It's like an epidemic. Crazy, strange world. Remember to go to Purple Haze at 1236 Versailles Road and 635 East New Circle Road if you're looking for some glass. They've got all kinds of glass and pipes, and I'll try to get some pictures to actually share up on the radio show. I mean, you don't know what you're missing, folks. Come on, get out and support the local people, your local businesses. I was talking to a lady last night, and she was from Harlan. And we were talking about, I told her I hadn't been in Harlan in a long time. And she said, well, it'll make you bawl your eyes out. And I said, really? She said, yeah. Like they've got a big mall that they built there in Harlan a couple years ago, I guess. And I guess everything in the mall is shut down except for one store now. There's no jobs. No jobs, nothing for nobody
wow.
to do. You know,
I'd say not over there. That's over in the boonies anyway.
Right. So, I mean, it's like, oh, my. I am going to go and spend a day down there, hoping to, and see if I can trace some of the places that I was when I was a child living there. One of the main places I want to go to is the old mining camps I used to live in, you know, and check those out. Of course, I know the mining camps ain't there now, but the property's still there.
What do you mean? What do you mean a mining camp, Coal Dust? What do you mean?
A mining camp is where you lived. Well, like with my dad was always a supervisor. So our house, we didn't have to pay rent. That was part of his pay. You know, we got free housing and free water and free electric, you know, and everything. And then he made so much an hour, you know. And the only people that lived in the mining camp was coal mining children and coal mining families.
Okay, so this is just like a little community for the people that work there in that particular mine.
If you ever watch the movie Bloody Harlan, and I've got that movie, watch the movie Bloody Harlan, and it'll tell you what a mining camp is and show you. And I remember that Collins guy. Yes, my last name is Collins, and I remember him like yesterday. I remember having to sleep on the floor as a child when Duke Energy come in there to bring the union in there, and they didn't want the union in there. They were shooting and killing people, even the police were shooting and killing people.
What?
I mean, everybody was getting shot. You know, as a child, like I say, you had to sleep in the floor because you didn't know if your house was going to get shot up through bullets. And, it was just Bloody Harlan.
Wow.
Go ahead, Jillian.
I can't imagine that. Why? I don't get it. Why? Couldn't your dad have moved you guys somewhere else?
Yeah, but... they were picket lines, Jolene. Like in the mining camps that we lived in, there was a bridge across the creek, and you couldn't get across the bridge across the creek to even get to the store to buy food or anything because there were people there with guns on the bridge that would shoot you if you tried to cross what they called the picket line.
Oh yeah, I was always raised to never cross the picket line. I mean, I never really, you know, understood that as a child, but as I got older, you know, I knew what that meant. But damn, I didn't know you lived like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I lived in Bloody Harlan. The first school I ever went to was Black Mountain Elementary, which is one of the highest mountains in Kentucky. I want to thank everybody again, Alfred.
Wow.
Thank you so much, Pioneer Paula. Thank you to the love of my life. Thank you, Miss Jolene. Thank you, Schubert. Thank you, Purple Haze, for listening in. We love you people. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Everybody have a good evening. God bless. And Miss Jolene's going to take us away. Bye-bye, everybody. Love you, ladies.
Bye-bye. Love you, too. Bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Just a little old-fashioned karma coming down. A little old-fashioned justice going round. A little bit of laughing and a little bit of weeping. A little bit of sorrowing and a little bit of weeping.
Just a little old-fashioned karma coming down.
Hi, I'm Willie Nelson, and the Willie Nelson Teapot Party and I endorse
Gatewood's Legacy Group on Facebook and at gatewoodslegacy.com.
Gatewood would be proud, too.
It really ain't hard to understand. It's just a little old-fashioned karma coming down.